Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed. It looks like we're going forward with the season. So on today's episode, we're going to break FSU schedule, a little bit about our fan base. So, Sam, you ready?
Let's get it.
All right, man, let's do it. So, I guess, Sam, before we break down the schedule, and losses and all that good stuff and what we think gonna happen in the games. What was your thoughts just on the, I guess, the announcement one that they're going forward with it? And how you feel about that?
I mean, I think they're going forward with it, but I don't know. I think it's tentative. You know what I'm saying? I think we talked about it last time. Like, there's no scenario in which they're not gonna play football, right? Like, they're gonna play football. Right. So that is what it is. I mean, they're not finna not cash in on the revenue, you know what I'm saying? So that's just going to be what it's going to be. So I wasn't surprised. I mean, we found out, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that they're going to come up with every situation, every scenario it is to actually play football. So I'm not surprised at all.
No, me neither. I think at first I thought there was no way possible for them to risk it. And then I think I came back on here, like you said, maybe that was last episode or the episode before last, and I was like, nah, I think they're going to go through with it. We started talking about billions of dollars and small cities. It now, at this point, has nothing to do with COVID. At this point, it has to do with just money. And, you know, money makes the world go around, essentially. And so what we're saying is, hey, and everybody right now are doing what's best for their pockets. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised either by the schedule, by the fact they look like they're going forward with it. I don't think it's tentative. I'm 99% sure they going, you know, there's going to be a season and it's going to happen, even if it's not necessarily the dates. I know they just got an email pushing back Florida schools to the 25th of August. So I know they may probably end up pushing it back, but I still think the season goes. So, but no, man. So I guess first, what's your thoughts on the overall schedule before we dive into it? What's your thoughts on, like, you know, the conference? Did we get screwed? Was it a problem? Did you feel like, you know what I mean? Did you feel like the ACC was out to get us again? Or
I feel like if I'm FSU, I'm pissed off mainly because, okay, so I'm going to lose my $4 million payout for the West Virginia game, right? So that in itself, I'm pissed off about. Second thing is you lost – so West Virginia, Boise State, Stanford. That was three games that was winnable. You know what I'm saying? That you could win. That I thought that you would win, to be honest with you. And you replaced those with Notre Dame, North Carolina, and I think Virginia, right? I think it's Virginia, I think you replaced it with.
Yep.
Yeah. So schedule just got really tough. I mean, there is no, in my opinion, like, there is no game that you can just kind of say, okay, we're going to win that game. I mean, even Georgia Tech at the end was starting to play better at the end. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to beat Georgia Tech, but it's not going to be like a – it feels like it's going to feel like an NFL, like, week-to-week situation. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and so my overall opinion was I thought this fan base has a bit of PTSD a little bit.
Okay.
I think we've been abused and we've been through a whole lot of really bad teams and really bad seasons. And so therefore we have, I think, devalued how good we are, bad we might actually be. So I looked at the schedule and I didn't feel like everybody else felt. I didn't feel like the only thing I did feel like was adding Notre Dame onto the schedule. That's unnecessary. You know what I mean? Right. Like that's a money play. That's some way to make. That's some like we got to make up some revenue somewhere, and we can probably get you know an extra bump off of this Notre Dame game.
Right.
So the Notre Dame is the one that I thought was the one that was the money grab. But for me, scheduling, I saw completely different. I think we're beating Boise because we lost to Boise last year. So I didn't have no idea what to expect in the conference opener, especially if we think they're starting the true freshman on the road in the Peach Bowl. I didn't feel great about that game either, even though I don't think West Virginia is very good, but I didn't feel good about it. So I think you've replaced two toss-ups with two more toss-ups. The only guaranteed win that you was going to say, I guess that you could say was the Samford game, and now you essentially replaced that with Notre Dame, which is a guaranteed loss. But when I looked at the schedule, and we'll break it down here, I didn't look at it and say that. I think I looked at it as, man, this fan base has really had a lot of really, really bad football. Has seen a lot of really bad football, and I think we think our team is worse than what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at return. I looked at – we talked about the defense on the last episode and how we think it's going to be really good to great defensively, top 20, top 30 defense. And so with a top 20, top 30 defense, I don't think you're ever out of any game except for the juggernauts, in my opinion. So if we're talking about a top 20, top 30 defense, improved offensive line, and decent quarterback play, I don't know why. I guess I don't see it as negatively or as bad. Say, man, line up Georgia Tech, line up Louisville. We beat Louisville two times in the last 2 years, and that was with Willie Taggart coaching them. So, I, again, we believe Louisville is supposed to be good, but I don't know. I guess let's dive into it. Let's dive into it because I do want to break these down individually. So, I mean, if we start with the Clemson Tigers, I think we can both agree that's a loss, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Just making sure you weren't going to be like, well, no, nah, all right. So, no, that's a loss guaranteed. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just skip right on to Notre Dame because that's also a loss, yeah?
Right.
Okay, good. So we've gotten our two losses, guaranteed losses, out the way. Do you have any other guaranteed losses? Because when I looked at the schedule, I saw all of my coin flips. So I look at Georgia Tech. I think we're better than Georgia Tech.
Right. They'll beat Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Okay. So then they beat Georgia Tech. That's a win that gets, I think, added to the schedule. North Carolina. I believe we've overvalued and overrated North Carolina, but North Carolina was good. They weren't great.
North Carolina won six games last year.
Right.
I mean, we won six games last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then if I look at it and I say North Carolina, for me, I got that as a win. I think our defense will be better than theirs, and I believe they're gonna come out with the point to prove against North Carolina. I also think I think coaching is better this year.
Right.
Like, I've got to give guys, we've been saying all offseason, we believe the coaching is better. So if I believe we got better coaching and we have more talent, which I do believe we have in North Carolina, I have that as a win.
Okay.
What you got?
Thanks. Well, they put North Carolina in Tallahassee. So, yeah, I'll take them to beat North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
I think they'll beat Pitt. Pitt got a really good defense.
Pitt has a good defense, but Pitt doesn't have much by way of offense, in my opinion.
No, they don't.
Right. So I got that as a win as well. So I got them 3-2 right now. Three wins, two losses. We got them both the same. Virginia.
They almost beat Virginia last year. They should beat Virginia.
So again, I said that was going to be my exact. I think they lost a lot, and we should have beaten them last year and did. All right, Duke, that's a win.
Well, we've always beaten Duke, so we should beat Duke.
Man, we ain't finna break down Duke. We lose. I ain't breaking down Duke. Louisville.
Mm.
I told you my opinion.
Louisville. That's gonna be a toss up, but I think they should beat Louisville.
My point was we beat them last 2 years with a worse team and a worse coach. Maybe I missed it where they got a whole influx of a lot of players that I didn't see they got, and therefore they're going to be miles better than we are this year. Mm-hmm. I got it as a toss up as well, but I do think it's a win. I count it as a win. Miami.
I don't think they're going to beat me. I think they're going to lose to Miami.
I agree. I think they lose to Miami as well. I thought they was going to lose to them regardless. But I do think it's – I think it all depends on where you put them in the schedule, right? Because I read the schedule almost like how they put it out, as how they wrote it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you end your season with a loss, or beginning your season with a loss, I know it's not scheduled, but I'm saying if you get them in the right spot and you have won all those games that we think they're going to win, they may be on a 4 or 5 game win streak. You never know what Miami's looking like. And so it could be a game that they could win, but I got them as a loss as well. So I actually believe that this is not a game that they should win. So I have that as a loss.
Okay.
North Carolina State.
North Carolina this State. Should be NC State. They beat NC State pretty bad last year.
Okay, I agree with that. I believe NC State is not on the same level as we are right now. So then we got 3 losses?
Mm-hmm.
7 wins, 3 losses, and then we're assuming they're adding the Florida game back in at the end of the season for the 1 non-conference game.
Right. That'll be a loss.
So that's a loss. 7-4?
Mm-hmm. I can see 7-4, yeah.
I mean, but so I guess my thing is, what were we expecting the schedule to be? Like, you know what I mean? I guess what 7 wins is kind of what we thought to begin with, and a possibility of maybe 8.
Yeah, we were thinking 8 like games. I was thinking 8 games. And a bowl game win, which would be 9.
I was around 6 or 7. You were 7 and 8. So, I mean, I think they're right around exactly where they would have been. Again, this is us speculating, but I think we're right around where they would have been, whether or not they played the old schedule or the new schedule. I still think the games that were toss-ups. I still think every game is pretty much 50-50. I don't see where we got screwed except adding Notre Dame in. That's a game that's well out of town. It don't fit what you're trying to do, apparently, for even doing it this way. It don't fit all, you know what I mean? It doesn't fit. It seems odd. When I saw Notre Dame, I was like, tell me, no sense. The other ones I can kind of grasp, I can get behind a little bit, regional, you know, whatever, but why in the world would they have to play Notre Dame?
You think we're going to play off?
Shouldn't they play all the, you know?
You think we're going to play a full season?
Yeah, I do. If they get it rolling, they're not stopping. I think where your injury list comes in, I think that's where it gets a bit difficult. Because I think if you look at that injury list now, you're looking at it and saying, somebody was diagnosed with COVID, therefore they can't play. And you never know who that's going to be every week. You know what I mean? And I think that's where it gets a bit dicey. Because, you know, somebody loses their starting quarterback because he on 14-day quarantine, that's a huge loss. You know what I'm saying? And you don't really know. You could lose running backs. You could lose quarterbacks. I think the injury list makes a big, big difference because I do think you will. But I think these games getting played regardless unless somebody actually dies. And that's sad, but I believe that's the level they've gotten to. Somebody has to lose their life in order for these guys to say, all right, man, we probably going to have to reevaluate some things and cancel the season. I mean, look what did the Marlins, did they even shut down the season for the Marlins?
I don't know what they did. I think they postponed some games.
Right, and that's what I mean. So, in other words, it don't stop no show. We still going out here to get this money because we got to go out here and get this money. So here's one team basically saying, yeah, y'all won't play no games for a week. But when everybody get good, y'all just come on right back out here to get it again. I think it's always been, and I underestimated originally the fact that the money was going to override people's health, well-being, and their health concerns. But what I'm seeing across every board, every platform, every place is – yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. We're only filling out at 25% capacity for these stadiums, so there ain't no home field advantage.
No, it ain't. No, it's really not.
There ain't no momentum. There ain't no momentum. I know you don't believe in momentum, but there ain't no momentum. This is basically coaching. Coaching, who has the better team? I think you see a lot of that. Because I've seen, again, I know I know you don't believe in it, but I've seen teams get charged up and crowd get involved and everybody get hyped and the stadium get and those extra endorphins start to flow on, and now you out here making plays and the game turns around. It's different with 25,000. You can't hear 25,000 in a football stadium.
Yeah.
What is 10,000 in a football stadium? 25%. You can't hear 10,000 in a football stadium.
Yeah.
Make no difference.
Yeah. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be weird.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very weird. I don't think you have home field advantage anywhere. So that's why when I look at, you know, the home and the road, home schedule, away schedule, whoever we play in at home, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. I think it has literally nothing, nothing whatsoever, or zero impact on who wins games, who loses games, or whatever. So, all right, let's take the best case scenario. Let's say they beat either Miami or Florida. Right. Let's give them 8 wins.
Right.
Does to recruiting and everything.
You said what?
How do you think that impacts his recruiting? I think right now we had some days he actually did, I thought, you know, a good job with recruiting on getting being able to replace the lineman that he lost so quickly. And already basically having a plan B already in the tuck, which I thought should have been the plan A, but whatever. Maybe it was, and we just didn't know.
Right.
But I think how does him winning 8 games versus him winning 6 games change? I think it changes a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to recruit okay. I just don't know if he can punch above his weight class. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I'm concerned about. I think if you win 7 games, 8 games, if he put a competent product on the field, he's going to recruit decent. But is he going to be able to out-punch and beat out the Clemsons, the Bamas, the Georgias for elite quarterbacks and offensive line prospects? I mean, that's the question, right?
No. I mean, essentially what you're saying is you don't have very much faith in his ability to recruit regardless of regardless of the win.
I mean, he's going to recruit fine. I just don't know if he's going to recruit at a national championship level, I guess. I think he's going to recruit.
I don't know what to say to it, obviously, because if that's the case, then he ain't going to be here long.
Well,
I mean, if you're not able to recruit at a national championship level, then you can't be at Florida State.
I think he's going to recruit at a damn mother level. Which ain't bad. It ain't terrible.
But I was going to say, explain what you mean.
Like, damn mother level, like, it ain't terrible. He's not doing a terrible job in recruiting. But he's not sweeping the state, like, grabbing prospect out of prospect. He's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not.
I think damn mother's doing a terrible job.
At recruiting?
I think if I'm a Florida fan, I would say damn mother's doing a bad job. Based on the record that they have. Again, if Florida State is winning 10 games and is playing in the New Year's Six Bowls, I expect a top class. Easy. Not even a difficult one. Like, we doing Tennessee stuff right now. And the fact that he's not says you're not recruiting well. Something is off somewhere.
Right.
Given Mike Norvell passes because he hasn't been able to show a product on the field. And not only does the fan base have PTSD, I think some of the recruits have it, and I think other, like, it's a stink on the program that's just like that Willie left that basically says these guys are losers, they can't win, they, you know, they're not winning, it's not a winning program right now. So I think if he gets to the wins, I think the recruits come. If you're a decent recruiter, the recruits come. If he's Dan Mullen, I don't think – like, I think this fan base is way more hostile to mediocrity than they are to being real – like, so mediocre for very long. I think you go to 7-win season, then you better be getting a 9 the next season, and you better be at 10 the following season. And the recruits better come. But if he's not able to get the recruits to elevate 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, BCS game,
right?
I think that's a I don't think he's long. I mean, so again, I didn't know. It's weird because I thought, you know, you had a little bit more faith in him. I thought he didn't have ties, but I figured he could recruit, and I figured he had enough people around him to help him recruit. Based on what I've seen, I was like, okay, they ain't recruiting at the level that I think they should. But I understand it's COVID. Kids can't see the campus. You know, it is what it is. He ain't put a product on the field yet, so we don't know what he's offering. So I was under the impression that, hey, win some games, win 8 games. You really can go out there, and now you can be in the conversation with some of these elite players. And you saying, I don't care if you do win 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, he's still going to be basic. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what's going to change between – so he'll play some games, right? I don't think Miami's going to have a bad season. This is me personally. Okay, I think Miami's going to have a decent season. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think Florida's going to have a decent season next year, right?
I'm going to pull up Miami's schedule while you're talking.
I think Florida's going to have a decent season also, right? So mm-hmm. They're going to put products. Right. They're going to put products on the field too. So what's going to be the difference? If we win 7 games, they win 7 games, and Florida win 8 games, 9 games, what's the difference? I mean, they're basically going to have this. They're basically going to be selling the same thing.
I don't think there's a difference with Miami because Miami balling right now, and Miami is keeping them home kids home, and it's a lot of good things happening around Miami. So, I don't think it affects Miami whatsoever. Cause I think Miami's going to keep rolling. But we just said Dan can't recruit. Dan's inability to recruit. You think Dan can?
I mean, I'm not saying he can, but I'm saying they know the kids know Dan Mullen better than they know Norvell. I mean, is the relationships going to be stronger?
Yeah.
You know, because the excuses that we're using is that it's about relationships. Well, what's going to make Norvell's mm-hmm. relationship better than Dan Mullen's relationships in the state? You know what I'm saying?
He'll be able to sell, apparently, and again, I'm only going based off of what some conversation I've had with some people. They said Mike Norvell's key is getting on campus, being able to, whatever he's saying to kids face-to-face, one-on-one, that's his strong suit. And so COVID has essentially affected him to recruit at the level that he should or normally can recruit at. That's what I was talking to somebody who I trust. Right, he's essentially shooting him some bail, giving him a pass, and so I'm like, okay, cool. If that's what you say it is, then my thing is, all right, let the state open up, let the kids come to some of the games. Again, if there's 10,000, I imagine 100 tickets is going to, you know, any players and they, you know, any recruits and their families. So you can get them on campus, let them see what product you're doing, let them see how things go, and you use these trips wisely. And if that's the case, I believe he does change, I think, how we view him as a recruiter. He does build those relationships up, and it does look better. Like, I don't know. I'm just only going based off what I've told. So if his strong suit is getting them on campus, and you can't right now get kids on campus,
right,
due to all the restrictions that we have, then he's currently fighting behind the eight ball because he knows, I'm not good on this telephone, or I'm not good on this. But when you get here, I'm going to make sure we show you the world. I don't know. Maybe he got cocaine and hookers. I don't know what he got. I'm just telling you, he get them on campus, and apparently it's different.
So my thing is this, though. Are they going to let kids come on recruiting visits during the season?
I would think you have to. If you're letting – here's the thing. There's no way you can't, right? Because if you're telling me we're letting 25% of the capacity come in, who – like, can you tell them what 25 can't come?
No, I guess you can't.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you can't tell them, okay, you can – all 25, I mean, and if you're smart, you'll figure out a way to bend that rule. Okay, well, such and such, hey, you come on down with your family or whatever the case may be, you're going to sit right here on the front row. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways you can bend that to where it ain't technically a recruiting trip, but, I mean, it's a recruiting trip. So all I'm saying is I believe his ability to get them on campus, get them once you get on the stand, hey, man, go find such and such and, figure out where you're at, bring them into the locker room, so on and so. I just think there's ways you can go about if it's not possible for them to actually go on recruiting trips. But I do believe they'll allow recruiting. So if you're telling me he's gonna get kids on campus, which is his strong suit, he's gonna be a show of good product, then I don't know if he's a better recruiter than Dan Mullen. I just know Dan Mullen's not a good recruiter. So therefore, I'm gonna give the edge to the man who I was told is really good in these situations. So I'm gonna trust him until he gives me a reason not to. What I can say is based on what I've seen so far, I don't have very much faith in him. I was told not to say that I think he's failing, because I don't think he's failing. What I do think, though, I don't think he's done a good enough job selling, I guess, dreams or selling whatever it is you sell to recruits before you play the game. I thought Willie was much better at selling, you know, the mess he was giving out to people. And if he had won games, it would be easy for him to grab these. He would have 5 stars all day long. I think, matter of fact, Nick Saban said it. I was talking to somebody. It was like Nick Saban basically said, if he gets it rolling down there, he's going to be a problem for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that same thing about Norvell.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that same thing about Norvell. But my hope is, hey, let the winds talk. So, again, I think we both had him at, you know, 7-4. And that's beating every team they were supposed to beat and losing to the teams we kind of thought they were going to lose.
Right.
What's more than likely is they're going to lose somebody they ain't got no business losing to.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Based on the track record of the team.
It's a lot of stuff got to come into play. Like, you know, I've been hearing like some players going to end up sitting out this year. So we'll see, man. I mean, these teams may not even be that hard when the guys decide to sit out. So we don't know. I mean, I don't know.
You talking about from Florida State, or you talking about
just around the country? Around the country, like they're not gonna play. Like some guys are saying they're not. You know, you just had a guy from Virginia Tech, and they said that's not gonna be the last guy. So,
yeah, man, Virginia Tech has been having problems though with their roster.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. I mean, we'll see. I think, I personally don't care how hard the schedule is because. Yeah, I mean, these last couple of schedules we had, other than last year, I thought last year was the easiest schedule we've had in, like, I don't know, almost 4 years, 5 years. But the 3 years before that, the Jimbo last year and Willie first year, those are some pretty difficult damn schedules, man. You know what I'm saying?
He had to come out the gate with some tough schedules. I got a question now. I'm just thinking about it. You said 21 games is the standard. I saw you put that on Twitter. I didn't want to ask you about it on Twitter. I was going to ask you about it on the podcast because I want to. You really believe that?
For me, yeah, it is. I mean, are they going to fire him if he got the same record as Willie after 21 games? No, they can't afford to fire him. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, what else do we have to base it off of? You know what I'm saying? I'm a patient guy. You know me. I'm all about patience. You know what I'm saying? You know, I personally think, which is funny now, just looking back on hindsight, I always said that we should have kept Willie, but we should have built up the back of the infrastructure of Florida State before we fired Willie, which would have been this year. You know what I'm saying? You know, which is funny because actually, if you'd have kept them, you would have been in a better financial situation right now. it's crazy.
You absolutely were.
Yeah, but.
Well, you know, you got to make tough decisions.
I mean, I'm just saying, though. I mean, people not going to the stadium anyway this year. So, it wouldn't have actually mattered. I think Norvell is going to be decent. But, I mean, how much average can this fan base take? We don't do a good job with taking average. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think Norvell got a better team than what Willie had when Willie first got here. I think the linebackers are a lot better. Mm-hmm. I think linebackers was flat out terrible when he got here. I think the DBs when Willie got here wasn't that deep. The position wasn't as deep as we thought it was. You know what I'm saying? They're deeper now. They got a lot of good players now. I think the offensive line, the floor is raised up a little bit better now than what it was when he first got here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the only thing he didn't do a good job of was – replenishing the quarterback position, because he did do a good job actually getting solid wide receivers, right? Hilton, Warren Thompson, he moved Pokey Wilson over from DB to wide receiver. So I think the wide receiver position is better. Tight end, probably not so much. But, I think the team is better. So, yeah, we can grade on whatever curve everybody want to grade on, whatever. But 21 games is 21 games, and we'll see what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like we said, most of those teams on the schedule, they're going to be toss-up games. So, that means we got a better coach now, so we should win toss-up games, right?
That was my point, which is why, like I said, when I looked at the schedule, I didn't say, oh, man, we got screwed. I said, no, we got better coaching. These were all toss-ups to begin with. So if they toss us to begin with and we got a better coach and a better team, which we have, then why should we count these as losses? Why aren't we counting those as wins? And that's when I was like, you know what, I think the fan base got a lot of PTSD. And, you know, the fan base got a lot of PTSD. Just we've experienced a lot of over a long period of time. And so, therefore, we feel like we're worse than what we actually might be.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe we're as bad as what we think we are. I don't think we're not juggernauts. We're not a good football team, at least from what I've seen. But I don't think we're bad. You know what I mean? I think they were poorly coached is what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of talent in a poorly coached roster. So now if I replace a talented team with some good coaching, I think that team hits above their head as opposed to below it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think you look nearly as bad against Clemson. It's a loss. It's a 30-point loss. I don't think it looks as bad, though. You know what I mean? I guess if that makes sense. You can lose. You can get blown out, and then not look nearly as bad as some of these other ones look. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. I don't think they'll be getting blown off the map. You know what I'm saying? I think they'll win. I mean, I think they'll lose close, and they'll win some games they're not supposed to. So, we'll see.
No, I agree with you on that one. I get one last thing. Running backs. You got any comment on running backs?
Nah, not really. I mean,
we know we lost Laybourne.
Not really.
I mean, Laybourne was kicked off the team.
Yeah, Laybourne gone. But, I mean, they brought in running backs because of this reason, though. I didn't think they ever really thought Anthony Grant or Laybourne was going to play this season. I just don't think they really believed in him. So, he brought in, three backs, I think.
Right.
So,
I agree. I think we're in good hands. I didn't see it as a major loss or as anything that, they couldn't overcome.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm with you. I just want to see if you want to say that.
Yeah, I feel.
But, hey, man, you got anything else?
No, that's it, man.
All right, man. Hey, as always, you just heard the Listen Up podcast. We out.
You.
Subscribe. We appreciate you. Them big breasts.